Now, on the phone, we are being joined now by Isla McGregor. Isla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Iris.
Excellent.
Lovely for you to have me on your show today.
Yeah, no, great. I can hear you loud and clear, so that's wonderful. So, for those who don't know Isla, because I think she's fairly well known around the country by this stage, Isla, what is your position within Women Speak Tasmania?
I have an advisory role with Women Speak Tasmania now, but I was the spokesperson for Women Speak Tasmania since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We had other women who also spoke on behalf of Women Speak Tasmania. The new director is Dr. Elizabeth Caballero, and she's done an exceptional job in the most recent campaign to have sex put back into anti-discrimination law in Tasmania. And
yeah.
She's a brilliant advocate for women, articulating the basic human rights position for women's campaign to have sex once again recognised as a protected characteristic in Tasmanian anti-discrimination law, which it currently is not.
Yeah, so Isla, for all the people out there, and there are actually many that have never heard about any of these issues because it's not really laid out in the media or so. I have found that a lot of people are very, well, they don't know anything about this. They don't know this is a topic in Australia, that there have been changes in recent years. Can you just give us the rundown of what the issue is?
Well, the issue is that federally, in 2013, Julia Gillard basically passed a law for the Australian government that basically did not define sex, what a man and a woman is, and basically opened the door to gender identity being the primary protected characteristic.
Yeah, so if I reword that to make it simple for our listeners, so the law basically changed in 2013 on a federal level.
The law changed in 2013.
And before that, obviously, a man was a man, a woman was a woman by biological obvious facts. But now we are legally required to accept when someone who is born of the one sex and wants to live as someone representing the other sex, then we have to accept their voluntary choice over biological facts, right?
Yes, and this effectively means that any man at any time, and this can change from day to day, can don the apparel of a woman or not don the apparel of a woman and claim to be a woman and enter female-only spaces like the Aquatic Centre in Hobart, like women's refuges, like women's prisons. We've got internationally hundreds of men have been deciding to change their gender identity to enable them to move from incarceration in men's prisons into women's prisons.
I can see that there would be a lot of benefits. I mean, it's a classic theme that there's gang wars and stuff going on in male prisons. You can get beaten up, you can get sexually abused even by other men.
Yes. Well, this highlights the fact that the prison system is not protecting men and women.
Yeah, highlights some bigger problems altogether, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, essentially we've now got a law that enables men to win in women's sports, although the International Olympic Committee has now decided that they will not allow males who identify as females to participate in women's sports.
We've been seeing this going on for many years, and like you just said, the Olympic Committee made a different statement. They have changed their mind, and so I hear many voices out of Europe now. The UK Parliament has just decided they're not really going to go in that direction any further. We're going back to biological reality. Do you think the tide is turning?
Oh, look, I definitely think the tide is turning. The tide has turned to such a degree that the coming federal election one of the key issues for that election is going to be fought on amending the Sex Discrimination Act
yeah.
to put the definition of man and woman in there, so that in particular men will not have protections, primary protections, overriding the category of sex.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as I understand it, everyone's meant to have rights and live in freedom and happiness as long as they don't intrude on other people's rights, right?
That's correct.
That's the premise this is working on. And that's actually why the law got changed in the first place, to make sure that transgender people have their rights too. So
yes.
Now it's got to be sort of, well, backpedaled and fine-tuned so that everybody has the same rights, so that no matter who wants to live, express their whatever they want in gender identity, does not intrude on other people's spaces. And a very prominent feature here has been the women's spaces, women's only spaces that we as women would like to protect and to have no men coming in. And I think that's because of many biological facts, right? I mean, we have the female body has very peculiar, a lot of peculiarities that men can simply not understand or engage in because they have never felt it.
No.
But women benefit a lot from talking with other women about these topics,
yes.
right?
Look, one of the most extraordinary aspects of the Federal Sex Discrimination Act and the Tasmanian Anti-Discrimination Act is that without many people really fully understanding, they're now discriminating against people because of sexual orientation. And the Australian Human Rights Commission is pushing much harder towards developing a human rights bill. And as you know, Andrew Wilkie has just tabled a bill in the Federal Parliament for a Human Rights Act.
Yeah.
But what we don't want to see with that bill is a situation where same-sex orientation, which is currently the case, is no longer a protected attribute, a protected characteristic. Because what we've had is lesbian groups throughout this country no longer being able to have lesbian-only events
right.
because they have to include men who claim to be lesbians.
And so, I mean, the whole concept, honestly, I'm struggling with it logically, because if I say, for example, if I hold a party and I invite certain people and I don't invite other people, then that's my right, right?
That's right. It's called freedom of affiliation.
Yeah, exactly.
And this has been effectively decimated, this fundamental covenant within the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights.
Yeah, it's like I'm having a party and I'm forced to invite all my neighbours.
Well, this is right. Yes. But with the lesbian issue, I mean, this is what we don't understand with Equality Tasmania, and particularly with Rodney Croom, that people like Rodney Croom are now talking about same gender attraction. So they're erasing the very basis of same-sex attraction as being embodied sex attraction, and they're saying, oh, well, it's whatever you feel. So now same-sex attracted people, but also heterosexual people are being discriminated against.
And I just want to make a statement here that we're not trying to discriminate against anybody. We want everyone to have their free rights of expression, to be happy and to live their life to the fullest and be able to express themselves. And this needs to be counted for everybody. Everybody needs to have that right.
Absolutely have to have that right. But as you say, Iris, so very clearly at the very beginning, where you have a conflict over rights, you must have the community consultation, and there has been a conflict over the sex self-ID legislation since 2016 in Tasmania. And the whole of the Tasmanian community have been denied the opportunity by the Tasmanian Law Reform Institute and the Tasmanian government to have the consultation, to have robust and open debate all aspects of these laws, particularly the very well-known adverse implications of sex self-ID from other jurisdictions internationally.
Yeah, actually, that now you mentioned Rodney Croon. I actually met him by chance. It was pure chance. I went to this lobbying meeting wanting to learn something about lobbying, and I had no idea what I walked into. And it was basically, that was when Tasmania changed it so that you could change the sex on your birth certificate anytime you please.
Yep.
Yeah. And I happened to end up at this lobbying meeting where literally only six people were sitting together. Someone from the Mercury, I forget his name, some politicians, they were really very, very encouraging to the transgender activists to push forward, and the Mercury made sure that to say, yes, you can get an article published anytime, just come to me and I'll be your mouthpiece in the media, and which I found appalling, because yes. I was actually there trying to learn some lobbying for another course, and my course has just been they never wanted to hear it. They never wanted to write about it. It's a scientific course, but we won't get into that. But I just was shocked how these few people in the room were all just basically, how do you call that? It was sort of like a meeting behind closed doors, and they all looked at me sideways and wanted to find out why I am there. Mm-hmm. And I was there by pure chance, but it was just, I thought, well, this is crazy. They're making backdoor politics here, and I'm watching this. There's literally six people in the room. They're all ganging up on this, and sure enough, not long after that, we had this law change, and I realized that most people had no idea about it, and if I hadn't gone to that meeting by chance, I would have had no idea about it either.
Look, the initial discussion paper on sex self-ID legislation was put out by former Anti-Discrimination Commissioner in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
One of my colleagues, in fact, had a meeting with the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner and the policy officer, and this matter was actually written up in The Australian following this meeting, where my colleague alleges that she was bullied and harassed and ridiculed at this meeting for an extended period of time. The Attorney General at the time did an investigation into this matter and found that the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner acted inappropriately in regards to stakeholder consultations, and this was quite an adverse finding.
Yeah, the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner is discriminating, right?
Discriminating, yes, and the discussion paper was not widely circulated in Tasmania. We made submissions, various groups throughout the country made submissions to this. The Tasmanian Law Reform Institute held a public forum. We asked to be on that forum, and we were rejected on repeated occasions. So when the Tasmanian Law Reform Institute put out its final report from the discussion paper, it excluded all the adverse implications of these laws, as I said, which are well known from other jurisdictions. They were excluded, and this was basically utterly appalling. And of course, when the bill was debated in Parliament, the bill designed to follow through with the federal referendum on same-sex marriage. That bill was hijacked by the Greens and Labor to make the amendments to Birth, Deaths and Marriages Registration Act for Sex Self-ID. And this is where the Trojan horse began. So there was no forewarning for the Tasmanian community that the Greens and Labor were actually going to do this.
Yes, and a lot of people are still not aware, to be honest, you know?
Well, a lot of people are not aware, but it's interesting. The Sal Grover case has really piqued millions of Australians. It's had international reach. Australia is the laughingstock of the human rights community under these laws.
That is true. I have heard such crazy things, and this is why we're having this interview. I mean, I've seen politicians being unable to answer what is a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a very sad state. And yes, we have been the laughing stock, especially just recently there was a ridiculous sounding lawsuit that actually called Tickle versus Giggle, would you believe it? And do you want to tell us a bit more about that one?
Right, the Tickle versus Giggle case is the one that the federal court has just ruled on in support of Roxy Tickle, a trans-identified person.
Mm-hmm.
And Salgrove has set up an app called the Giggle App, which was an app for women to connect.
Yeah.
And there was a screening process, an AI facial recognition screening process to that.
And apparently thousands of men tried to get into this women's only group, right?
Yes.
Because we are interesting to men, aren't we? I mean, I find that all my life. Women are very interesting to men.
But what Sal did a mechanical check and determined that Roxy was not suitable to be on the Giggle app.
Yeah.
And was sued by Roxy through the Australian Human Rights Commission, which the outcome of that was that the commission supported Roxy's case and fined Sal Grover. She appealed to the federal court. I think most people understood that the federal court was going to be the next stepping stone to the High Court,
yeah.
Because the federal court effectively can only rule on existing law.
Yeah, and based on these existing law changes that came in a few years ago, they affirmed that women in Australia cannot have a women-only space unless they let in self-identifying, female-identifying males. Huh?
Yes, that's right.
Basically, also.
But I would like to differ from you a little bit about a lot of people don't know about these issues. I think they don't know about the history of how this came about, how this Trojan horse law, which has clearly conflicted with the rights of girls and women. But more than just the rights of girls and women, and I really want to reiterate this is a very important point, these laws have conflicted with the rights of parents. These self-LD laws have conflicted with the rights of parents.
Parents, yeah. Well, and men too. I think everyone's affected by these laws. I think even the activists themselves actually are affected. And I think we need more clearer definition. You know, if we need separate spaces for, say, trans-identifying individuals, then maybe we need a third space, like a third toilet or so. You know, so everybody gets their rights and their protections.
But what we've got, and we know because we've produced two extensive documents. One is called The Impacts of Sex LVD Laws on Tasmanians, which we delivered to the Attorney General 18 months ago. And earlier this year, we produced a document of 29 testimonies of Tasmanians about the adverse impacts of these laws. And these testimonies, this is not a publicly available document, but the Attorney General and the other members of State Parliament have got copies of these testimonies, provide the basis from which justify the repeal of these laws, but certainly the inclusion of sex to be put back into anti-discrimination law. But many people throughout our community are witnessing little boys in schools who think they're girls winning in sports. We know this is happening.
They're
witnessing in surf life-saving clubs, men participating in women's events, in hockey sports, in soccer sports.
I think that's really concerning because obviously, I mean, men are built different. They have a stronger body, more athletic, more endurance, faster, jump higher, all that.
They're observing men wearing women's swimming suits and wigs at the aquatic centre, walking up and down in front of the girls' classes, and going into the women's change rooms, open spaces for changing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious there's a lot of potential for abuse. Do you think that, like, with the law changes that have been made, that this is like a process of fine-tuning to come to some a good legal basis in the end that works for everybody?
Well, look, as far as trans extremists are concerned, they just want their rights to override everybody else's rights.
Yeah, but
I say everybody else's rights, I'm talking about girls and women, boys and men, parents, health professionals, educators. What we're dealing with is an ideology.
Hmm.
We're dealing with a social engineering project. And the social engineering project is to change the language. And we saw this on the ABC only last week with Rick Goddard interviewing Rodney Croom about a letter that Women Speak Tasmania wrote to all MPs inviting them to join the Women's Pledge Australia and to put sex back into anti-discrimination law.
Yeah. Now, one last topic I would like to cut on is because you mentioned children, you know, and we're seeing this in schools now. If a child decides to change their name to the other sex or something, or wants to be identified as the other sex, the other gender, then the schools, they basically are also under policy. They have to go along with it. And this is sort of this whole air of no one's allowed to speak out. I talked with our local principal, and he was, I think, rather concerned, didn't want to speak clearly, though, out of fear. Everybody is sort of in fear of speaking out against these policies, you know? I mean, we've even got that here on the community radio. I don't know if there's going to be a backlash for this. I just hope that some people hear this and are concerned, too, because I think the tide really is turning. So in the gender conversion, giving children or teenagers hormones to stop their puberty or lead it down the chemical path of forever medication. And we have already got transitioners who've detransitioned and to speak out words of warning to other people how they got funneled into this, and they really had actually some other psychological problems that needed to be addressed instead of mutilating their body. And I think there's lots of science recently coming in that the evidence is going to be so heavy, it's going to be unavoidable, but we're just trying to reduce the carnage, right?
Yes. Look, Women Speak Tasmania has been very effective in their social media outreach in Tasmania.
Yeah.
They've had to be very effective because they're effectively black banned by the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Recently, David Kirk in the Mercury wrote an article about the email that Women Speak Tasmania sent to the politician. He will not mention the name Women Speak Tasmania.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And also this recent lawsuit, the Tickle versus Giggle, I mean, social media is on fire about this, and you hear on the media, nothing.
And in the Mercury in Tasmania, it is Sophie Ellsworth, who is a News Corp journalist based in London, who's writing the articles that are being published in Tasmanian Mercury, because journalists here are too afraid to cover the other point of view. And part of the reason they're afraid is because of the backlash.
Yeah.
Because basically what we have with this ideology and trans extremism is you've got a system of what is often referred to as political extortion.
Yeah.
And what will happen is that if women are allowed to put their case to the public through these mainstream media outlets, then the trans extremists will ring up that paper or that radio station and use that grip of, oh, I feel unsafe, or this harms me.
And
we know, for instance, at the ABC that there are journalists who have actually said that. In particular, Leon Compton has made this comment on The Drum about, you know, we have to be discerning about what coverage we do to the trans debate, because it could harm trans people. But in the meantime, you know, there are hundreds and thousands of Tasmanians whose rights have been impacted and whose children are being harmed by an ideology, particularly through the school system.
I think that would be my main point, that the children need to be protected from influences like from lobbying and so on. But they're so easily influenced, and changes in that age are going to be long-lasting for the rest of their lives. And we've also had some other concerning changes there in medical rights, that basically children from the age of 12 can do medical procedures without their parents even knowing, and I think that's super concerning.
And in the Tasmanian school system, working it out, the trans extremist group are actually providing affirmation planning for students in collaboration with schools. This is all well documented on Women Speak Tasmania's webpage. And this is absolutely unacceptable. It is unethical. As far as we're concerned, this ideology is resulting in medical abuse.
And this is really where I would draw the line. You know, children need to be protected, and adults, well, they need to be adults at some point, you know. And we need to work it out. And maybe we need a third space, or maybe even a fourth, you know. But that doesn't mean we have to give up the spaces we already achieved through long legal battles and logical arguments, right?
That's right. I think we're all for third spaces for people who have a different notion about identity.
Exactly. We don't want anyone to feel unsafe. We want to accommodate everybody, but nobody gets to overstep the line into other people's rights.
It's dropped off the agenda.
Yeah.
The issue of coercion and control is highlighted by this legislation.
Yeah.
That girls and women are being coerced and controlled into accepting the erasure of sex as a protected characteristic and their boundaries and their safety.
Yeah, so a new bill got introduced into Parliament just a few days ago, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, by a Nationals MP. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we hope that either there will be some fine-tuning to, like, distinguish maybe between sex and gender.
Yes,
and
I'm not optimistic that this bill will be passed, but then you've got multiple parties, the Nationals, the Liberal Party, One Nation, the party from Victoria, the Libertarians, all support the putting of defining what a man and a woman is in the SDA and amending Sex Discrimination Act.
And we have noticed recently there is some political movement into the One Nation direction and so on, because people are disenchanted, they are displeased with what the government has been putting through in policies like these.
Yes, well, I think, you know, there is a very slow but gradual shift from the left of politics in Australia. I think that the levels of intimidation and harassment within the left ranks has been severe from the trans extremist lobby group.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that people are finally deciding that they're going to come through, because we've now got puberty blockers banned in Queensland. We've got the IO, the Olympic Committee, saying we're not having men and women sports anymore. We've got more and more nations coming on board banning puberty blockers for children. We've got schools that are rejecting family planning Tasmania from giving their sex education to and we've got parents groups, religious groups, all sorts of organisations that are peeping on this issue.
Yeah, I think the tide is definitely turning. People are seeing the consequences, and like I said, I think there needs to be some fine-tuning. Do you think Sal Grover has to go to the High Court to have a girls-only social media page?
Sal Grover will most definitely go to the High Court.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my feeling is that regardless of what happens in the High Court, this issue ultimately will be decided.
The law needs to change, right?
The law needs to change, and I think that, you know, and I've personally, you know, taken off my WST advisory hat. I'm not a supporter of populism, I think that, you know, the dissatisfaction with government has been growing, with governments, I should say, has been growing in Australia over many years.
Yeah.
Whether it's left or right governments. And I think that, you know, there needs to be far more robust debate about definitions in politics generally.
Yeah.
And, of course, far more respectful and courteous debate.
Well, I hope Andrew Wilkie is successful with his human rights, because, I mean, we need the right to speak, for example. That really needs to be protected, that you can have an opinion.
I fear for the Andrew Wilkie bill. I haven't had a look at it, because mm-hmm. I suspect it will, in fact, entrench gender identity as having primacy over sex-based characteristics.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll have to read it.
Because Andrew Wilkie actually banned Women Speak Tasmania from using his facilities, and this is some 5 years ago, allegedly because Rodney Croom and Charlie Burton had told him that we were a hate group.
That's what I find fascinating in Tasmania. I mean, we're a very small state, but it's literally five people can change the law here.
Well, I mean, it was a cabal of people who were ideologically fixated on some fictional notions about, you know, the fluidity of gender and what gender is.
Mm.
At the same time, as I said, coming back yet again to the interview with Rick Goddard and Rodney Croom, that they're now refusing to use the word biological sex. They're now calling it biological gender.
Well, I mean,
how insane these people are that they actually want to manipulate the language to such a degree.
It would be funny if it didn't affect us, wouldn't it, you know?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
it's hilarious.
I just think, you know, you can try to outlaw reality, but it doesn't really add up in the long run. And it's we're going to come back to reasonable ground, I'm sure.
Yes. Look, censorship has caused some of the world's most devastating disasters.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm German, I can attest to that.
Yes. Censorship is a real problem, and what we've got is, largely speaking, with the national broadcaster, the ABC and the SBS, we've got...
It's like Hitler's propaganda machine, to be quite honest. It's not much different, you know?
Well, I think, you know, the ABC just removed itself from ACON, the AIDS Council of New South Wales, Australian Workplace Equality Index, because the ABC has been targeted repeatedly for bias and for activist journalism in relation to refusing to interview women's groups like Women Speak Tasmania. I mean, the ABC in Hobart refused to interview Senator Claire Chandler after her push for saving women's sports.
Yeah, because she's also an activist for women's rights, that's right.
Oh, absolutely.
Look, we're running out of time.
Yes.
We're going to have to come to an end. What would you suggest to our listeners who want to get more information, who don't know what's going on, or who would like to become active or just read up more on this?
We would love people to have a look at our Facebook page and our website. There's lots of information there. We'd love to work with anybody in the community. We've got a big issue coming up at the TASCAT soon over our legal matter against the Tasmanian government over Libraries Tasmania banning Women Speak Tasmania from their meeting rooms. So please look at our website and our Facebook page.
That's it.
We welcome you.
Exactly. Have a look at Women Speak Tasmania, and you can make your own picture. Come to your own conclusions. That's always good. Think for yourself. That's my best advice to everybody. Because really, that's what you have to do as an adult.
Yes,
okay. Well, Ayla, thank you very much.
And thank you.
And I wish you all the best with your endeavors in the future.
Yes, thank you. We look forward to another interview later.
And thank you very much for standing up for women's and children's rights.
Thank you. Thank you, Iris.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.